This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your Huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Thursday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the Fan, and the Party Animals on the YouTube stream. Party on, party people, youtube.com/1080AM, the Fan. All right. The Oregon Ducks have released half of their kick times for the 2025 football season, and there are three notable times out of the six that were announced. The Ducks' first big nooner is going to happen this year.
Oh.
We got a big nooner. September 13th at Northwestern, a 9 a.m. Pacific time kick, Oregon versus the Wildcats. That is a tough one.
Yeah, it's an early kick time. That's difficult. Do you think they'll go out there? How many days out do you usually go out on the road?
Day before. If it's an early game like that.
Do you maybe go a day earlier?
Maybe.
Try to get used to it a little bit.
Yeah, here's the thing. This is different. This is so different from the days of yesteryear where early kicks were. I remember when Stanford went out and got blasted by Northwestern when they had a far superior team and it was held against Stanford? Well, they played one of these early kicks and David Shaw was like, dude, our guys aren't used to this.
They're not even up normally by now.
What they have now is Oregon practices in the morning.
Mm.
Most colleges practice in the morning. So they are used to getting up early, having their body clock early, but getting ready for a game is far different than getting ready for a practice. Mm-hmm. You think of this 9 a.m. kick Pacific, your body clock, you got to wake up and go through your pregame routine. You're probably getting out of bed at 4:30 or 5 in the morning. And if there's one thing that we know about Oregon and their preparations, they're going to be maniacal with how early they get up all week long.
And something we know about young men, they're really good at getting up early in the morning.
Yeah, they are. They are. They are.
Yeah, notoriously but known for it.
This is an interesting move because do you think there's a part of this being like Northwestern saying, yeah, we'll take Big Noon?
Oh, God, yes.
We'll take Big Noon on that one. Because Oregon has got a big following in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Like one of their biggest alumni outposts is outside of the Pacific Northwest is in Chicago. That's why they had big numbers at the Purdue game, big numbers at the Wisconsin game. And
turns out we stumbled into the biggest outpost in Washington, D.C. when we were there.
Weird.
Random.
Random bar we walk into is like, what?
This is the home of the Ducks in Washington, D.C. Like, wait, really? All right.
But Northwestern has a 15,000 seat stadium they're playing in. They, because this game is happening in September, they couldn't play it at Wrigley because the Cubs are playing that day at 11:20 a.m.
And not just that, the Cubs are playing good baseball.
They're playing very good baseball. So they know that there's two prong here. One, not really a great weekend for that big noon to happen anywhere. But if you're Northwestern, you're probably wanting this to happen to maybe keep some Oregon fans from coming, saying, we don't want to go to a 9 a.m. kick out there.
Yeah.
But that's going to be, it's 11 a.m. local. I have a feeling that they're going to be kind of waking up those body clocks early. So that's the first notable one. A big noon, the Ducks' first big nooner is September 13th. The second notable time that was released today, September 22nd, or 27th, rather, when Oregon goes to Penn State.
Mm. I mean, you look at the schedule, that's the game of the year on the schedule.
It is a 7:30 kick at Beaver Stadium. It will be the whiteout game. It's going to be the night game. And it will be a whiteout game.
Up.
It's going to be on NBC. It's going to be electric. September 27th at Penn State.
106,572 is the capacity at Beaver Stadium.
Not this year.
Should be fun to hear from Noah Eagle that week, too.
Yeah. By the way, their capacity is... they say, we're going to try to keep it as close to 100,000 as possible. They tore down a side of their stadium.
And, oh.
Yeah. They did it right after their playoff game against SMU. So they're doing renovations there. It will be, like I read something saying that they're going to try to, it will be around 100,000, but it's not, they're doing renovations to that side of the stadium where they tore down like the press box and suites on one side of the stadium and the grandstands, the upper half of the grandstands.
I mean, when it's full, it's one of the bigger stadiums in the country.
In the world.
In the world.
In the world, yeah. But it will, they're still going to be very loud. It's going to be a whiteout crowd. So that'll be a fun atmosphere. The third one is Oregon's playing a Friday game. And this is something that when the Big Ten announced that they were going to start Friday games, there's like protected schools. I think Ohio State and Michigan are protected from playing on a Friday because they got power over there. Oregon had two of them last year. It was a thought that it'd be like, okay, you got two out of the way.
Yeah.
You're clear.
You're the new guy. You put up with this.
November 14th, Minnesota will be a Friday game at 6:00. That is short week following a trip from Iowa. They play Iowa on Saturday, November 8th.
In Iowa?
In Iowa.
Oh.
And then they come back home, play a Friday game. And that kick time against Iowa has not been announced. Remember, Oregon played UCLA at like an 8:00 kick at the Rose Bowl, then got home at like 4 a.m. and had a short week prior to Michigan State this past year. It may have been Purdue. One of their Friday games. They had a short week before one of their Friday games. It was the Purdue game. Because they got home so late and then had to play a short week, so everything got sped up a week. They still shut out Purdue, by the way. You're going to be playing at Iowa, coming home short week, playing Minnesota for a 6:00 kick on Friday on Fox against Minnesota. But that does give them an extra day prior to their game against USC.
And Iowa is one of those teams where you don't want to play them before the short week. Because, yeah, you'll probably win because they just don't have any offense. But you usually leave that game much like...
Have them on a short week.
No, I'm saying going into a short week because...
You're going to be beat up.
You're going to be beat up.
Yeah. And then you got Minnesota, which is a very physical team, too.
Yeah, I think that's... Again, if you're looking for, like, little landmines in the schedule, like things that typically pop up. It was like when you played Stanford when Harbaugh was there. Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah, you're in for a game, but you're going to leave that week going... That game sucked.
Yep.
Like we got beat up, man. Even if you win, you're leaving with your scars. And it's the same way with Iowa. You play Iowa, you're going to come out of that game. You're probably going to win because they can't score. But you're going to come out of it going, oh, God, I'm beat up.
So those are three notable kick times. September 13th at Northwestern, big noon kick, 9 a.m. Pacific time kickoff. September 27th at Penn State, a 4:30 local time, 7:30 in State College, Pennsylvania for that kick. It will be the wideout game. And then the Minnesota game, home game against Minnesota, has been moved to Friday, November 14th at 6:00. Other than that, the three other games that were announced today for their kick times, they'll start the season 1:00 kick against Montana State on the Big Ten Network. September 6th, the visit from Oklahoma State will be a 12:30 kick on CBS. That's a sweet spot. I love those 12:30 and 1:00 kicks. Those are perfect. That's football to me. And then October 18th, when they go to Rutgers, 3:30 or 4:00 Not sure what which time, because it'll depend on which network picks it up. But it'll either be a 3:30 Pacific or 4 o'clock Pacific kick, which means a night game in Piscataway, New Jersey.
Yeah, there might be a game on that same day that might have a little more juice.
What's that one?
USC Notre Dame.
Oh, that's on October 18th. Uh-huh. All right.
On my birthday.
You guys might get that. You guys might get that big noon treatment there.
No. It's going to be interesting.
I don't.
It's either that or the night. It'll be that or the night game.
Yeah. Is it in South Bend?
Yeah.
No, well, then you're fine. That'll be an NBC game.
That'll be an NBC game. It'll be the night game.
All right. You're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine there. Good.
Good day of football.
Please. So wait. If you're booking trips, plan accordingly.
Plan accordingly and go to a town away.
Ooh, good call on that.
Go to a town away.
Go to a town away. Get out for a little bit. You'll be okay.
The extra 20 minutes of driving will probably save you like $400 a night.
Seriously.
No, I'm dead serious.
Seriously. Yeah. Part of my life work is done.
Mm.
And I'm so proud.
Oh.
You're welcome, college football.
Mm.
Danny Dusty on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ooh, I need compass, man. He was so hot for a year.
So hot right now.
Mugatu.
That Hansel.
That Hansel.
He's so hot right now.
So hot right now.
Was it Edwin Diaz? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Eddie Diaz.
The best part was when he came out and did it live.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mets broadcast did just an incredible job. Yeah. They did the walk-in behind Diaz with the solo cam on Timmy Trumpet. It was like I'm not even a Mets fan. I was gassed. That's I was like, let's ass. Go, dude.
Yeah.
I think every reliever should have a trumpeter come out.
Look,
lead them out.
It never happened, and I'm so pissed it didn't. Even though I hate the Yankees, there was that talk about Metallica coming out for Mo Rivera's last run and playing Enter Sandman live for him to come in
the batter's eye, just sitting there.
Like that would have been electric.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Part of my life work is complete.
Short lived.
Well, it just shows you how efficient I am.
There you go.
All right. I've said this several times on this program. One of my life missions is to get Mike Leach into the College Football Hall of Fame. The barrier to get into the College Football Hall of Fame was 60%. And Mike Leach, one of the greatest coaches in college football history, had a win percentage under that threshold. He was at 59.6% of his games that he won. Had he not passed away prior to their bowl game, and they won that bowl game, he would have gotten to 60% of his games won. Mike Leach will be a College Football Hall of Famer. The College Football Hall of Fame announcing that they are lowering their threshold from 60% down to 59.5%, which means Mike Leach is now eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Hey, you can't tell the story of college football without the pirate.
That is what I've always said, and I believe it to my core. Mike Leach revolutionized the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
He and Hal Mumme, they at Kansas Wesleyan, when they hatched the air raid and put it into use, it changed the way that teams throw the ball as we know it. There is not a team that throws the ball in college football that does not use some of the concepts or principles that Mike Leach implemented first and stuck to it throughout his entire career.
Well, my.
The man was a wizard, and it wasn't just that he was a great play caller, but he was a fantastic head coach and a motivator of young men. Some of his ways were old school, but most of what Mike Leach did was revolutionary in the way that he handled his players, the way that he talked to them and taught them. You literally cannot tell the story of college football without Mike Leach. Period, point blank. His impact for a guy who never won a national title was greater than most national title winning coaches. Mike Leach deserves to be in the College Football Hall of Fame. They did the right thing. They're allowing him to get in. And I love that for the Leach family. And I love it for all of college football, because that man deserves a wing in that College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Georgia.
He does. And it's not just for what he did as a coach and what he did for the game, but who he was as a person. Mike Leach was, you know, the altered state of Greg Popovich.
Mm-hmm.
Always. You never knew what you could get out of him, whether it was in a press conference or just walking by him.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there was something uniquely special about Mike Leach and his thoughts, and like, you know, whether you ask him a question about, have you ever considered, you know, General Patton's process in World War II and why it mattered? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, and then he'll come tie that back to some life lesson and then how that impacts football and how it impacted a conversation that he had with one of his defensive backs. And you're just like, the hell?
Yep.
It makes sense, but it's amazing at the same time. And it's like the past that he, like, his brain just worked on a different frequency and a different wavelength that both translated and transcended. And it was just awesome.
Mike Leach took over a Texas Tech team that was around 500 prior to him getting there, mm-hmm. for several years, turned them into a team that was in a national title conversation. Mm-hmm. He took over a Washington State football team that was one of the worst football programs in all of college football, period, point blank. The years prior to Mike Leach, they went 2-11, 1-11, 2-10, and 4-8, okay? He turned them into a perennial bowl team and a team on the cusp of a Pac-12 championship.
Mm-hmm.
He took over a Mississippi State team that went 6-7. For him to win 59.6% of his games at those three institutions, that is College Football Hall of Fame worthy, yeah. in and of itself.
And let's not forget the impact that he has had on quarterback play.
Changed it.
Completely and totally. And also on this list, and we know Mike Leach is obviously the front runner, but this will also open the door for Les Miles to be inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame. And look, you can say what you want to about Les Miles. Les Miles is a damn good coach.
Les Miles, not a great person all the time, but he was a, and he did it at multiple places. Like, if we remember Kansas and Kansas being a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have his career record at 66%.
They had him at 59.6 because it was over.
He had 18 years. He went 145-73. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. They had it on, yeah. 59, like, Leach and him right there.
Weird. Because his run, his record at LSU.
Pretty good.
114-34.
Well, would that be discrepancy be due to some vacated wins?
Probably, vacated wins. His vacated wins took him under that threshold. Yeah, probably. Yeah. But
which he still won the game. Stop doing, like, the whole vacated wins thing, vacated titles, shut up. It happened.
Les Miles won a national title. He played for another and lost. He was the SEC Coach of the Year, the National Coach of the Year back in 2011. He was, Les Miles is deserving of, yes. the College Football Hall of Fame. It also brings into the mix Jackie Sherrill into the periphery of the College Football Hall of Fame too. And Jackie Sherrill is a former Texas A&M coach. And everybody knows my thoughts on Texas A&M. Mm.
The cult?
It is a cult. He is at 59.5 win percentage. And Jackie Sherrill was the National Coach of the Year. He was his bowl record, I believe he was 8-6 in bowl games, consistently a winner.
Went to
major bowl games. He was, yeah. He was Washington State, Pitt, Texas A&M, and he took over Mississippi State as well. Do you think somebody at Mississippi State was on the committee to change this?
Yeah. Hey, look, we have two Hall of Fame coaches.
He went, in 5 years at Pitt, went 59-1, and then went 52-28-1 in 7 seasons at Texas A&M. That's not bad, but man.
Pretty damn good.
So there's three coaches that have
partisan Pitt teams that were pretty decent.
I would say so.
Yeah, I would imagine that some pretty decent players came through then.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see here. Do you want to see?
What years was he at Pitt?
He was at Pitt from 1977 to 1981.
Yeah.
77 to 81. So he had some pretty good players.
Absolute
in that time.
Dudes.
NFL. Here. Yeah. Let's see. Jackie Sherrill, Pitt players, NFL. Oh, Tony Dorsett.
Yeah, I would say Dorsett's one of them.
Yeah, and his staff included Jimmy Johnson and Dave Wannstedt. Dan Marino was his quarterback at Pitt.
For a year.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering if he...
No. He was his last quarterback, 79 to 82.
I thought you said he was there till 81.
Yeah. Well, he three of the years, 79, 80, and 81.
Oh, okay.
He was his quarterback.
Yeah, I guess Marino's in class of 83.
Class
so, yeah.
of 83. So okay, yeah, Marino went 1 year without him.
Okay.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah.
Jackie Sherrill, Mike Leach, and Les Miles. All eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame now. But with Mike Leach eligible, check that box. Part of my life work is done.
Put it on the board.
Yes. We got it. And I'm happy for Mike Leach. I'm happy for Coug fans, Texas Tech fans, mm-hmm, Mississippi State fans, too, because y'all deserve to have Mike Leach in that College Football Hall of Fame.
Even if they did throw tortillas at you.
Well, you got to be able to have tortillas thrown at you, you know. I wonder if he maybe started that.
Wouldn't surprise me.
That would not surprise me one bit. You know?
Weaponize everything.
Yeah. If you're going to throw the ball, you better throw those tortillas, mm-hmm, too. Those things hurt.
Yeah.
When they water them up and water them down and throw them at
you. They water them up to you?
Water them up to you. Yeah. Those Texas Tech fans.
You want to go back?
I do. I actually do.
Lubbock's fun. Look.
No, it's not fun.
It's a fun town.
No.
It is.
It's not. It really isn't.
I had a good time there.
It's not a fun town, but they love their game day.
Yeah.
In the student section behind the visiting bench, aggressive.
Mildly.
Aggressive. Need more of it.
Love it. All right, coming up next, time for our worst day on the web. And, there's only one way really to go about this. What is lost can now be found in two very different scenarios. With that, but first, here's the Big Kahuna with the Sports Center update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
Today's worst day on the web is a twofer, and it's a what's lost is now found. What you want to go with the big one, ooh, or you want to go with the human-sized one first?
Human-sized?
There you go. Three guys were...
I don't feel like there was a good answer there, and I feel like this was a trap.
I mean, the three people were hiking in the Adirondacks up in New York, tripping absolute balls.
All right, that makes sense.
And one of their fellow trippers went missing, and the other guys were tripping so hard they were called and reported him dead.
Oh, and he was just missing?
Yeah, so the dead person ended up calling 911 later because they were all tripping balls and lost.
Yeah,
was this
like mushrooms that they were on? Yeah, okay. You see, this was, there were some guys that I went to college with who will not be named here. Mm. And they would always know that I was the person to call. I had
when they got lost.
They would get lost in the woods. Mm-hmm. They would get lost in the woods, mm-hmm. and they would call me, and I would be like, "Okay, where are you?" Non-distinguishable. They'd always tell me where they were going beforehand.
Sure,
and give me the heads region. Up. Yeah, yeah. And I feel like you have to have somebody that you can count on that will be sober to do those things for you.
Look, people are going to do it. If you're going to do it, make sure you have some sort of communication device.
They were not smart.
Well, I mean, especially, I'm talking now.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do that kind of thing now,
oh, gosh.
Go spend the money.
It's just.
And go get, like, a GPS system.
So many.
I'm being dead serious. Because, like.
I feel like 90% of the people that are playing that game, they're not going to do that.
See, but here's the thing. I know a lot of people who have a fair amount of resources, let's say, that would go and do those things,
mm-hmm.
and they still don't do it. And I've talked to them. I'm like, look, man, your Apple AirTag is not going to be enough to save your ass out there. Like,
it definitely is not.
Go spend the $300-$400.
It's not.
And go get a freaking GPS that works on satellite, mm-hmm. deep in the woods.
In the scraggly woods.
So that when you go trip balls and all of a sudden you think you're on another planet, somebody can come find you so you don't die out there.
Yeah, man.
I had a friend who did Those do guys. That. And he was doing the, what is the name of that hike? It's I'm talking about the guys that do like the cross, you know, damn near cross country hike. There's the Pacific Trail.
Well, there's the Pacific Crest Trail. Yeah. And then there's the Appalachian Trail.
What's the one in Colorado that goes through the Rockies? Like, it's a super serious one, but I can never, but you know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
There's another trail that's like that. He's done a bunch of those.
Okay.
But he did that one, and he took some things that could help him understand nature a little bit better.
Yeah, that's not but
he
smart.
But he was also fully prepared and had all the proper equipment, and he was taking pictures along the route. And this has actually happened to two different people that I know. I told Nemec about one of them off air yesterday. In the background of the pictures, you know what was behind him?
A cougar?
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
He didn't know it until he started going through them.
Mm-mm, that's terrifying.
And it was tracking him for miles.
That's terrifying.
And I'm like, dog, you were by yourself and tripping balls. You would have had a 0% chance. You were going to be a murder kitten
snack. That's why I just, that's the terrifying thing about any of that stuff.
You never know they're there. They're 50 yards away.
Well,
and you
no, I'm
no
talking
idea.
About the drugs.
Oh, yeah.
The cougars are a different thing.
Well, the cougars, while you're on drugs, now you're just seeing, you just want to boost the snoop.
You're dumbing yourself down when you go somewhere very dangerous.
Yeah, and it's like,
no. None of it is good. I don't.
No. Not.
Continental Divide is what you're looking at.
Thank
Danny.
You. Yes.
Continental Divide.
That's it. Apparently,
fan text line for the win.
Apparently, it's just a beast of a trail, too.
I can imagine it is.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
I've seen like the pack outs that they do for that stuff and how it's optimized down to the gram.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's.
Yeah, you like, don't want to mess around.
You don't want to mess because it's so far and you go through so much altitude and like the you don't want to leave waste behind and how efficiently you have to. It's a crazy ordeal. He's done pretty much, I think, all the ones across the U.S., the Appalachian, the Pacific Crest, the Continental Divide. And I think he's going to do one in Africa now. I'm just like, dude, go do your thing.
That seems scary too.
Yeah, but this is his thing. So he trains for it and does it. But it's the pictures are incredible. I'll say that. We do have.
I think almost getting killed by a cougar would definitely rule me out of almost getting killed by a lion.
Yeah,
you want to not be.
You want to work your way up the murder kitten index?
Nope.
Hard pass.
Nope.
Story number two, though.
Okay.
Did you see the guy in Norway who found a ship in his backyard?
Seem to have missed this one.
So I'll rotate this over
so you can see it. Oh, that's a full-on ship.
Yeah, ship.
Whoa.
Full-on ship.
Holy guacamole.
It is a container ship that missed the house by 10 feet.
How does a now he is on waterfront property there, obviously. This wasn't like it drove up. But it just parked right there in his backyard.
Yeah, this is like in a fjord, if you were.
A what?
A fjord.
I don't No clue.
An inlet of Norway.
Okay.
And this is not like a tugboat. This is not like a small cargo container. This is like a 500-foot cargo container.
Ship. Yeah.
This is a massive ship.
Those things are terrifying when they go awry. What do we know about the captain of said ship? Because I know
this is
the
second time that this particular ship has run aground. So that's why I was like, huh.
Country of origin?
It is Russian. No. Cypriot. So Cyprus. Which is not uncommon to have Cypriot flagged ships for a multitude of reasons.
Hmm. And so they're just this same one has run aground
twice
before
with the same cat. Well, this is the second time.
Seems like a little party situation is happening.
I'm thinking this boat. Somebody else might be taking some mushrooms.
I am the captain now.
Because like when you see the photos, like there's an aerial photo from what I can only assume is a drone. It seems like it would be physically impossible to run said ship aground where they're at because it is wide open.
Yeah, I'm looking at this, and it's not like we have any narrow crossings here.
No.
This is wide open spaces. The Dixie Chicks would love where they're trying to drive these boats, and that is not it.
When you run aground, it's because you're getting in a narrow space and you're kind of angled wrong. He is like beached in the sense of like he T-boned the front of the property.
Hot dang.
You're just sitting there. Thankfully, the guy's house wasn't destroyed. He was home when it happened. He was like, yeah, I just kind of got woken up and I went outside and I couldn't really figure out what was going on. And then I turned the corner and I saw that.
Yeah, that would be one heck of a thing to wake up to. Now, this reminds me of, remember the Italian cruise ship that tipped over because it ran aground? Wasn't that captain, didn't he abandon ship mm-hmm. on that? And I believe it was, he was trying to impress a lady and brought her up to the stern.
There you go.
That does not seem. I feel like we may have this kind of energy here, where he was like, "Yeah, I'm going to impress somebody." Oh, this is bad.
Got himself one of those Nordic princesses.
Turns out that training kind of matters.
Mm-hmm. It's like, what was it? What's the numbers? 83% or 87% of those polled in the U.S. thought they could land an aircraft.
Yeah,
and not just like a Piper Cub or a Cessna, but like we're talking like a commercial, like 747.
Yeah, I know some
you can't.
Commercial airline pilots that I asked them, I was like emergency situation. They're like, no, you couldn't.
No,
it is actually very, very difficult to bring the plane in at the proper angle. Yeah, that would not be. I was like, what if what if I had somebody on the other end talking me through it? Like pilots are passed out, still got comms. You're like, there might be if they can get it into like autopilot in the airport has the capabilities to like auto land planes, but most likely no.
Because you're going to take too steep of an angle and you're probably going to crash.
Yeah. Yeah. Which apparently some airports and planes are equipped to do that. Like they have, I don't know what the capabilities are, but they have a technology that can kind of guide you in a little
bit
easier.
Keep you on the rails.
Yeah. If anybody's like, hey, can somebody land this plane? I'd be the first to be like, nah. Mm-mm-mm. And I'll tell you what, if I was on one of those planes, the first person to pop up and say I could do it, I'd be like, not him.
Unless they're an actual pilot.
Yeah. I would say, not him. Are you a pilot? No, definitely not him.
You have because too much confidence.
100%. Yeah. Like the person who thinks I got this, nope. No way, Jose.
The only addendum I would put to that is, how many hours do you have on Microsoft Flight Simulator? Because if somebody's like, I've got 10,000 hours on Microsoft Flight Simulator, I'm going to go, anybody else a pilot?
Yeah.
No?
We got it. All right.
All right.
How much you been drinking?
Yeah. It's great. Have you ever seen that? There's like a community of people who like, they build themselves like full-on state-of-the-art flight simulators, and they've never flown a plane, but they fly them virtually. And it's actually kind of crazy because, I mean, it's a full-on control system.
Yeah.
And you're like, why don't you go become a pilot, dog? Like,
well, because it's actually pretty smart because chances are you're not going to actually die doing that.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, the commercial airline pilots aren't dying.
Yeah, but small aircraft is usually all what those guys are time. Playing. That's super dangerous, man. That's very dangerous.
You know, in a terrifying but not surprising fashion, they had to put an airspace bubble around the World Trade Center on that video game.
Oh, come on.
I mean.
That's gross.
It is, but.
Yeah.
Dummies are people. Gonna, but dummies are going to dummy.
That's, I don't like that.
No. It's not, like that it's not great. Yeah. But yeah, I saw that and I was like, oh, man. That's a worse version of the guy playing Call of Duty who shoots down the helicopter and yelled Kobe.
What?
Oh, yeah. There was a Call of Duty clip about 2 months ago. A guy playing multiplayer shot an RPG at a helicopter. It was a deep shot.
Well, actually, that's what a lot of people do on like a deep shot.
Yeah, he's like, Kobe, because you're just letting it go.
No,
and then he hits it, and the helicopter crashes. He goes, not like that!
My...
The realization was a second too late. It was like, oh no.
It was a good couple years of my son's life that when anybody would die, he would be like a helicopter crash? Because Kobe Bryant just stuck in his mind like anybody. His great grandma died, my wife's grandmother, and he was like, he was telling people she died in a helicopter crash like Kobe. She didn't. Mm. She was old. But He was just
associated
like,
death with he was like,
yeah,
crush.
Yeah, helicopter crash. That was it. And we were like, buddy, no. The good news is grandma would have absolutely loved to be compared to Kobe Bryant.
That's the way she wanted to go out.
She would have been like, dude, I love him for that. Yeah.
but put one up for him.
Just kids being kids, man.
Well, speaking of kids being kids, have you seen the latest news from the recruiting world about guaranteed commitments?
I have.
Yeah.
I have this text. My 200 plus hours on Microsoft Flight Sim would definitely qualify me. You can smoke weed and fly airplanes on the sim. Can't smoke and fly in real life.
There you go. Cut down that reaction time. That's where you take the edible. That's what happens.
Why do you have a flight simulator? So I can get high
and fly a plane.
What?
I mean, it's a lot like tripping balls in the woods, you know?
I'm much safer on a flight simulator.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
In your home.
Yeah, for sure.
In your home.
Just, oh, man, that looks cool up here.
Oh, man.
A lot cooler if you did, you know. All right, we're going to get back to the world of college football and just how crazy the recruiting world is getting to. We alluded to it a little bit yesterday with Andrew Nemec. We got a little bit more news on that. We'll get to that next here on Danny and Dusty, 10A the Fan. Yesterday with Andrew Nemec, we were talking about the world of recruiting and how things are changing just incredibly rapidly. The top-end recruits and how some programs around the country, even if a guy commits to the program, they're like, hey, can you do us a favor and can you keep that pocketed for a little bit? We want to make sure we maximize momentum and do everything that we need to do.
Silent commits.
Just kind of do that so that, look, we're not trying to snuff you out or, mm-hmm. or kind of, you know, not let you have your moment, but we want to kind of maximize your moment. Well, what you do is to take that a step further, and this is from On Three, the world of recruiting is now recruits are asking to get money up front for the commitments. This from On Three, from Pete Nakos. Brutal, I've heard of guys getting $25,000 a month to guarantee their commitment to a program.
And that's
pretty crazy, man. Before you even step on campus.
That can't be legal. But I mean, this is also the way of, all right, there's always going to be a workaround. There's always going to be ways that people try to leverage it and do leverage the situations. And the back alley deals are going to start coming back more and more as the salary cap comes in and as Deloitte is going third party with trying to tell you how much you can make in an NIL deal that's outside of your payment from the university, the bag man is going to be back. And it should be no surprise to anybody when that happens that they are present again in the world of college football. That also, I don't think that is going to be happening at the elite recruiting programs. It's more of, hey, oh, by the way, you want me to not go to XYZ and mm-hmm. visit? Like, this is like, hey, if you commit, you can't take any visits. We've talked about these programs a lot, right? There's a bunch of them that say, hey, if you commit here, you're not going to be able to take a visit. Then the answer is, well, if you want me to be committed and stay committed, it's going to cost you. I don't like that way of business. I don't think, like, anytime you see a decommitment, fan bases freak out. Now, you guys talked about the swimming pool one, which, boy, is that a turnabout 17 days later. The people that freak out about that, dude, if the guy's not committed, he doesn't want to be there then.
It's fine. Like,
it should be fine.
You don't want the guy that doesn't want to be there. And I'm not saying that. Like, look, I'm not the Oregon guy.
You want willing participants. Yeah. You don't want hostages.
No.
It sucks. And you're like, oh, well, why doesn't he want to be here anymore? Well, probably because he's getting money somewhere else. And you know what? That's okay. That's the world we're in. And I know that there's a lot of people who don't like that. But it's
the reality.
It is the reality. It's where we are, especially with zero guardrails. I have long said that we need some guardrails to this. Mm-hmm. Like, the NCAA can't do it. Somebody else needs to step in and do it. Whether it is, you know, the new
Deloitte Clearinghouse.
Well, no, the new committee of I forgot what it's college sports committee or whatever it
competition
is.
Competition committee. Yeah,
they need to step in and have defined rules. I definitely don't want Congress to step in, but if they have to, sure, that would be okay. But the reality of it is, this is the world we are in right now because the NCAA turned a blind eye for decades and ended up getting crushed in court over and over and over again. And that led us to the point where we're at right now. I don't like it, but it's the world we live in, and you're either going to adapt or you're going to get left behind. And that's the reality.
And there's more to this. Ross Dellinger had a larger article out yesterday that pertained to a lot of college coaches wringing their hands about this, like, oh, we don't do like kind of a deal. It's like, okay, shut up. We all know you do. Stop. That's the thing I'm getting really sick of. Is every one of these freaking coaches like, well, you know, we're not doing it. It's like, shut up. Shut up, shut up, shut up. You're all doing it. You're all doing this. Just stop. Stop trying to freaking railroad people and high horse everything that comes through this as you're the high and mighty and your hands are clean. The ones at the top, you're the dirtiest. Stop it. I'm so sick and tired of it. Like, in this article, Kirby Smart's out here talking about, well, you know, some schools are out there, third party NIL groups are, you know, giving money under the table, and we don't even know that's going to be permissible under the new collective bargaining agreement adjacent agreement that might come out of the landmark court case. Like,
well, actually, he has a point there because his program has enough money to give it all over the table.
Yeah, but
I mean, like, that's the thing is that he's right in that there are schools. He doesn't have to live in that world because he has plenty of money.
Yeah, but they were doing it with the boosters on the side before. We all know that. And that's what he's saying. And it's like, oh, it's not us. But here's an interesting part that the Dellinger had that I didn't see in the On3 report. So those kids that go get $20,000, $25,000 to stay committed to a school month by month, if they do decommit and go somewhere else, they owe that money back.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to pay that back, man. Good luck having that permissible in court.
Uh-huh. So you're giving a kid $25,000. You're giving a 17, 18-year-old kid $25,000 a month for 4 or 5 months.
See, that may be...
And then he decommits and goes somewhere else.
But that may be like the, hey, we see this in contract all the time where you get advances, right? I mean...
Yeah,
is that how you're writing these contracts out?
I'm sure, like, boosters are writing it that way.
You have a $500,000 deal, and we're going to give you a, you know, $200,000 advance because we're going to pay you $25,000 a month for every month that you're committed for however long.
Whatever prorated.
Yeah, that might make it legal.
But even
I don't know.
Even beyond that, if they do decommit,
see, this is the thing. Nobody knows the rules. Yeah.
But also, what kid isn't going to spend that money? What kid isn't going to show up at high school the next day with a chain?
Well,
with a Hellcat?
Here's the thing is that I think all of the coaches who have those players decommit, they get those chains back and the coaches wear them to every press conference. Lane Kiffin would be the guy to do this, by the way.
Oh, God, that would be so great.
Looking like Mr. T by the end of it. A lot of decommits this
year. There's a lot of guys that want to go by Juice, but Lane could pull it off because he's got his dog, Juice. Nah, the chain's for my dog. Juice Kiffin right here. He's got a $20,000 diamond chain.
I, for one, would have been a very responsible 18-year-old.
Oh, God. Dude, I got a very sizable signing bonus when I was in the Air Force. I pissed every single penny away.
I think, and I thank my parents for this, they would have forced me to be responsible with it. They would have forced me to. And even if I pulled the I'm an adult, they would have been like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You may be an adult, but you're dumb.
Yeah.
They would have made me
I bought a nice car. I bought a lot of clothes.
Yeah. No.
Definitely should have put it into a house.
Probably.
Definitely should have put it into
would
a house.
Would have been a good investment.
Yeah. I don't know about you. The housing market was a good time to buy in that time period.
Yep.
So, all right, coming up next, I just came from the Trailblazers practice facility.
Ooh!
The first real crop of workouts that involved first round prospects. We got to talk to three of them. What came out of that, and what can we expect in the next couple of weeks here as we are less than a month away from the NBA draft? We'll get to that next here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.